Heaven, it's a very, very big schus for me to be standing here in this place. I hope that even though you're here every day, that you're not taking not the yeshiva, not your rebbeim for granted, and not the place that you're in the world right now. The truth is, I have an inyan to talk to you about that would take 2-3 hours. And I know that there's only a few minutes, a short time. So I want to share with you something. I want to begin with a story. The Rebbe Reb Simcha Bunvik Pshescha Shusilani, before he was Nifta, told this story. And it was strange. He was a very, very... He was a very mysterious person. He was a huge goyin and a great tzaddik. And it was odd that this is what he left the world with. But he said, a short time before he was Nifter, some say that it was Mamish, right before he was Nifter, that he said there was a very wealthy Jew in Poland who had a Mishagas. The Mishagas was that he wanted to buy the most expensive horse, the most beautiful horse in Poland. It was a Mishagas. And he bought this horse. But if you have such a beautiful horse, you have to have the right kind of a stable. So he built a beautiful stable, and then you have to have the best lock to make sure the horse is okay and safe. But that's not enough. He also hired a shomer, a guy to watch the horse. And he paid this guy to sit up all night to watch the horse. So it was the first night. You know, Shlomo Melech already said in Kehelas that sometimes wealthy people, rich people, it's hard for them to fall asleep. You know, they have a lot on their minds. They have a lot to lose, so they're afraid, you know, to lose everything, so they can't sleep so well. So this Gvir, this wealthy fellow, was also, he was nervous about the Fed. Fed is a horse. So he was worried about the horse. So it was like 12 o'clock, whatever, 1 o'clock in the morning, he goes out, and he sees the guy, the Shomer, is like, okay, he's up. So the Gvir asks the Shomer, how do you stay up like that? It's so late at night, it's pretty good. So he said, I'll tell you what keeps me awake. I have a kasha. There's something on my mind that's bothering me. What's that? He said, you know, when the carpenter knocks a nail into the wall, what happens to the wall? What happens to that part of the wall? Where does it go? So the guy saw he's already strange. You know. So he says, okay. He says, yeah, ich tracht auf dem, I'm thinking about this. So he says, and that keeps you awake? He said, it keeps me awake. Yeah, I can't understand this. So he said, okay, so you think about that. That's good. It's a good kasha. Anyway, he goes back, he tries to sleep, comes out like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. He thought for sure now the guy's already asleep, and the guy's awake. He goes over to him, he says, how are you up so late? He says, I have another kasha. What's this? You see, you know when they make bagels, what ever happened to that part in the middle? I never saw that part. So the Gevir says, Mustaka, it's a good kasha. You have to think about it. You have to think about it. He says, yeah, I'm trying to think about it. He goes back to sleep. Now it's like 4:30 in the morning. It's already holding by, you know, Alois HaShachar or something. And he comes and the guy is wide awake. So he asks him, what are you thinking about? What are you learning now? What's sugya in now? So he said that you're the biggest gvir, the richest Jew in Poland, right? He said, so. And you bought the most expensive horse in all of Poland, yeah. And you built the most expensive, beautiful stable, yeah. And you put in a fancy lot, right? And you hired me to be the shomer. He says, yeah. I don't understand. What's the giving him at the fair? And I was like, what happened to the horse? And he shows him that this. The horse got away. The horse is gone. And so the Rebbe Bunim told this Maisa before he died. The Maisa of the missing horse. And it's very, very hard for us to think that the horse is a marshal for Kodesh Baruch Hu. But what the Rebbe was saying, the Tzaddikim explained what the Rebbe Bunim was talking about, is that the Rebbe Bunim was saying that we're already a few generations from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And the Baal Shem Tov brought into the world the Ir HaKadosh Mishmaya Kanochis, a fire, mamish, a fire of emuna, a fire of dveikus. And over time, we've built kehilas and shtiblach and chesidises. You know, we've built all these beautiful things. We've institutionalized the Baal Shem Tov. We've institutionalized Yiddishkeit and chesidis. But what happened to what was being protected? In other words, what happened to the tachlis of all of this? I was just speaking to the Rosh Yeshiva, and I mentioned to him that there was a conversation I had with some balabatim up in the mountains this past summer, whose sons are learning the strongest yeshivas in America, mamish. And some are here, the strongest yeshivas. And I said, I'm giving you a little bit of homework. Speak to your boys, speak to your sons. And ask them, when was the last time that they ever thought about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the fathers were saying to me, what do you mean? They daven three times a day. They're learning yeshiva. I said, okay. Tell them Weinberg had such an Irish guy. Ask them such a question. It's not coming from you. It's coming from some Michigan. And they came back the next week, and I'd say 70-80% of them asked their kids, and there was only one father who said that his son said to him that occasionally he thinks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu by davening and by learning. It happened that these parents were Baalei Tshuva, which explains also why that is. But the other ones admitted to their fathers. First, most of them said, what are you asking? But they admitted to their fathers that they never, ever think of, ever, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not b'chlal part of their consciousness. I, they're sitting and learning all day long, and they know how to learn. I is the first words in Shulchan Aruch. The first words in Shulchan Aruch. So listen, Chavra. Let's talk a little bit about the missing horse, okay? Talk about it for a few minutes. And again, if I had time, I would talk to you much longer. There is something that's the most basic ingredient of all of existence. If it wouldn't be, then a molecule wouldn't be able to develop. An atom wouldn't be able to split. You and I wouldn't be able to move, to breathe, to think. And what that is spoken of at the very beginning of Eitz Chaim, the teachings of the Ari HaKadosh. The teachings of the Arizal begin with the words, "Kesha'ala b'ritzani yizbarach shemay l'rvay asa'arlam." Listen carefully. "Kesha'ala b'ritzano," rotzen. How do you translate rotzen? No? Will. Wanting. "Kesha'ala b'ritzani yizbarach shemay l'rvay asa'arlam." Those are the first words from Rabbi Chaim Vital's pen, from the teachings of his great Rabbi the Arizal. The time of Elul, the Yemei Rotzen, especially according to the view that says that the world was created in Tishrei, it's Machlokes, but the world was created in Tishrei. That means that Allah b'Ritzon Yisbarach Shemay, Elul is a time of Allah b'Ritzon Yisbarach Shemay, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceived, he wanted, whatever that means, but Hashem Yisbarach wanted to create the world. Again, we're not going through what that means right now, by Hashem to want something. Every week, who knows which time of the week is the time of Rotzen. Not only is it time of Rotzen, Raiva de Raiven, I gave it away already. What time of the week is Raiva de Raiven? You talk about that sometimes? You're right, it is Shabbos, but what? Mincha Shabbos. Mincha going into Shalashu, this Shabbos is called Raiva de Raiven. Rotzen HaRitzonis. It's a time of Kesha'olah HaRitzonis. That's why it's such a big time of Avodah by Tzaddikim, the time of Mincha and Shabbos and the time of Shalashu. When Chazal tell us that where does a Jew come from? Where do we come from, you and I? Where do our neshamas come from? So Chazal revealed to us that we come from that place of Yisrael Ola B'machshava Tchila. We don't know what it means. Even the Kabbalists don't talk about this midah of keser, of crown. I'm not talking Kabbalah here, just simple. But that for whatever it means, every single Jew, every single Nishmas Yisrael comes from a reality that's called Kisha'ol b'machshavta Yisburach, Hashem's deepest will. Hashem's deepest will. What Hashem wants more than anything, Kivyachal, that's where you and I come from. Yisrael Ola b'machshavta Tchila. So let's try to understand this in a very simple way. Just make short and very, very simple. At least to just start. To start to look for the missing horse. Ratzon. Will. Dveikus b'Hashem. When you have a husband and a wife, there are some people who are married, Mitzvah Hashem, everybody will be married at the right time. When you have a husband and a wife, I spoke about this recently a little bit. One of the chavi here was telling me here, the shiur that I gave in Toronto recently, I spoke about it a little bit over there. When you have a husband and a wife, and they're very, very good to each other. They're very good to each other, and they take care of each other, and the husband is devoted to his wife, and he works hard to make a living, and he helps with the kids, and he helps in the kitchen. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. And yet, what happens so often because of my position as a Rav is that the husband and wife, the wife wants to come talk to me, and she comes with the husband. And the conversation will often lead to this, to these words. That she says, I feel something is missing. And he says, what do you mean? I don't earn a good living. I didn't build you a nice house. I don't help with the kids. I'm not a good father. What do you mean? What do you mean? So what she's really saying, once we get through like an hour or two of talking, is what she's really saying is, that when we were married, when we were first married, I really, really felt that my existence was at the center of your existence. In other words, I was in that place of who you are that's called Kisha'olo Berit Sinai. And there was nothing in the world outside of me that you wanted more than anything. You wanted that connection, that relationship with me. I felt that I was in that place that's called Eishes Chal Ateres Baila, the crown. Crown means Ratzon, means will, means desire. And I felt that I was mamish at the center of that world. And now, no matter how many times you send me a card, and you write on the card for the anniversary, I love you. Or you'll take me out to dinner and you'll say, I had a really nice time. No matter how many times you do that, there's something inside of me that tells me that I'm not anymore at the center of your universe. I'm not in the Kudus HaLev anymore. I'm not anymore that fared, so to speak, using the mashal of the Rebbe Abunim. I'm not in that place anymore. I'm not in that place anymore. Because that place is an answer to the question of Ma'atarotzeh. Ma'atarotzeh. Now the Kala and the Chasna together before the Chasna, I only want you. Like there's an old song back in the States in the 50s, I only have eyes for you. It's very romantic. I only want you. And she felt that for some time. But as it often happens over the years, she began to feel that she was no longer the center of his universe. She began to feel that his interests were more in work or maybe even in learning or in other things, but not her. And that question of Ma'ata Rotze. See, Rotzen really means Ma'ata Rotze. So let me give you an example. A simple example. You have two friends, Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven asks Shimon, Ma'ata Rotze? What do you want? He asks Shimon, Ma'ata Rotze? So Shimon doesn't know what he's talking about. Like if I were to ask one of you right now, Ma'ata Rotze? So Shimon answers, lunch? And maybe it's fleishiks? And I would like to have something to eat? So you say, nah, come on, I'm asking you really, like, more important. What do you really want? Bems, mal tavetze. So he says, okay, so guy's a married guy, he might say, you know, I was thinking maybe you could make an extension of the kitchen, of my mir peset or something. All of those answers to the question of ma'at tarotzeh are all answers that in the world that's called nefesh. Nefesh. In other words, it's the most shallow, the simplest part of who we are. There's nothing wrong with wanting to eat. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have an extension to your apartment. But the answer to the question of ma'at tarotzeh, the answer something to eat or an apartment, those are all answers in the world of that's called nefesh. Now Reuven says to Shimon, okay, listen, Shimon, I get it. I know you want to eat, you're hungry, you'd like to have a nice house. I get that also. But be'emet, 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 really, what do you want? See, now he might say something, be'emet, be'emes, what do I want? I would like to be a bigger Balmidas. I'd like to be a better person. I'd like to be able to have a home, to build a nice home, to get married, to settle down, to build a nice home. And I want to have a good life. All of those answers are very, very fine. They're very sweet. But they're all in the world of Ruach. It's also the answer to the question of Ma'at HaRotzeh. What do you want? Because you see, everybody has to want something. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap speaks about that in Memorim. The Sulam speaks about it a lot. And all the tzaddikim speak about this. Everybody has to want something. Everybody that's sitting here right now, if you're healthy and if you're well, the people that are not well, they've lost their hope for anything in life. They've lost all desire for anything in life. But a healthy person wants. The shaila is always, what is it that you want? What do you want? That's the question. What is it that you want? So first, when Reuven asked him, what do you want? And he answered, something to eat. That's nefesh. I'm hungry. Then he said, no, bamis. So he answered, ruach. With ruach, he said, I want to be a good guy. I want to settle down. I want to get married. I want to be a better husband. All of that stuff is ruach. And now Reuven persists. And Reuven says, no, come on, Shimon. Really, I'm asking you. What do you want? In other words, make-believe, Shimon, make-believe it's not me, Reuven, that's asking you this. Make-believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is here right now, which of course he is. But think of HaShem Yisbarach being here right now, and HaShem Yisbarach asking you, Shimon, ma'ata rotze, what do you want? In other words, kisha'ole b'ritzoincha, in the deepest part of yourself, don't answer me nefesh and ruach. Because, Chevre, you could sit your whole life and you could be living in Steigen and Gemurge, become a huge Lamden, and the Ferd is gone. Because the Baruch Shalom is standing in the room and he's asking you, Ma'at HaRotzeh, what is it that you really want in your life? And then you might say, after maybe a tear, a little bit crying, you might say, Ma'ani HaRotzeh, Be'emet, Be'emet, and the Baruch Shalom is saying, I'm asking you, Be'emes, what do you want? So at that point, the God might be down. And the person might say, Baruch Shalom, Ani Rotze Otcha. I've been running my whole life, I've been playing games. You know, I like to say fancy kashas and fancy terutzim. I show off at the Shavuot Brachos how I put two psukim together. I show off to my chavrus, I shlugged up my rebbe, I did all kinds of fancy things. But if you're asking me personally, why am I doing all of this? What is all of this about? In other words, why do we have this building over here overlooking the Harabayas? Why did the tzaddik build this place to begin with? What is this? What is all this for? Like, why are you learning Gemara? Why are you doing all of this? Why are you depriving yourself of things that all the guys in the world are indulging in? Or you're trying to be good? Why? Why are you doing all of this? What's the tachlis of all of this? When was the last time you asked yourself, Ma ani be'emet rotze? Not your nefesh, not your ruach. And don't say the answer is, I want to be able to finish Bava Kama this year, which is great. You should finish all of Shas. It's great. But that's not the answer to the question. Be'emet, be'emet, be'emet. Why are you learning Bava Kama? What's the tachlis of all of this? What's the point of all of this? The place that we're looking at outside the window is the it's covered by the Tumah of the Yishmaelim, is the Evan Shasiyah, right? The Evan Shasiyah. The Eved Shasiya in the world. Everything exists on three levels. Everything exists, as you know, it says in Sefer Yetzirah. Everything exists on the level of Olam, of physical space, of Shana, of time, and Nefesh, the soul. So for example, the holiest place in the world is right. Is am I looking in the right direction? The holiest place in the world is the Har Bayis, and the different Dregas, the Mishnah says, but in Eretz Yisrael and so on. But you get to the Kodesh Kodashim, right? The Eben Shasiyah. That's the holiest place in the world, and the holiest time of the year is Ne'ilah, and the holiest Jew in the world is the Kohen Gadol. So the yichud of those three levels of Olam, Shana, Nefesh, of physical space, of time, and of soul, is the Kohen Gadol going on at the time of Ne'ilah, Yom Kippur, into the place of the Eved Shasiyah, into the Kodesh Kedosh. So the Nefesh Chaim writes, in the first Chelek, in Perek Dalet, the Nefesh Chaim writes, V'halev shel ha'odam emtziis degufa. Now, I purposely did not bring you from a Chassidish Sefer. Everybody here is okay with the Nefesh HaChaim? Right? No one's going to walk out? Fine. I also am a big fan of the Nefesh HaChaim. I've learned it many times, Baruch Hashem. So listen to the words of Nefesh HaChaim. If you want to have fun with the Litvish guy, you could say, I saw a Chassidish Sefer and say this sentence, and then after you start saying, oh, said such a thing, then you say, but Chaim V'lozen, I was just joking. It's a Chaim V'lozen. Nefesh Chaim says that the heart of a Jew is at the center of the body. Hu kelelas hakol. And the heart of a Jew is kelelas hakol. It contains everything within it. Neged beis kodesh kedoshim, and that corresponds in the world to the kodesh kedoshim in Yerushalayim. Be'emtzorius Hayishu, which is at the center of creation, the center of the world. Evan Hashasiya. That's why we daven is Yikaven Liboy connected base Kodesh Kadosh. Yikaven Liboy. When you were davening, the Nusach of the Gemara is Yikaven Liboy, that your heart should be aimed. Your heart should be directed to connect base Kodesh Kadosh, towards the Kodesh Kadosh. It doesn't mean just where you're standing. It doesn't mean where you're facing. Of course, we face Mizrach. Over here, it's not so hard to figure out. It's not just a matter of where you're facing. It's what do you want? Now, when the Israeli army came and they recaptured this place, and there was a famous broadcast that went out. I don't remember who the general was. Some big guy in the army said, "Harabayit, Harabayit biyadeinu." Right? I think that was it's a famous quote. "Harabayit biyadeinu," and that's pretty good because I live in a place in Woodmere, on Midwood Road, and it's very, very far from Harabayit. And the place where you all come from is very far from the Eved Shasiyah. So there are marriages that get to the Har HaBayis, to a certain place. There are parents and children that they have a relationship that's called Har HaBayis. You can go further outside. And further outside until you're all together in Chutz La'aretz, far, far away from the Eved Shasiyah. But then you have other marriages. Women, the husband and wife look at each other, even though they're 70, 80, 90 years old, they look with the same eyes that when they were under the chuppah, and they live together all those years in the Eved Shasiyah, in the Kodesh Kodashim, the base Kodesh Kodashim, in relationships of parent and a child, two friends. There are many of you who have friends over here now, you're not going to even remember their names a few years from now, but there are other friends that you have, that you've made, that are your friends, that have come from the Kodesh Kodashim. It's a different world called the Kodesh Kodashim. The Eved Shasiyah, it's a different world. The Ramchal says the following in Derech Eitz Chaim, and this is the homework that I'm going to leave you with. Again, I really need much more time to talk about this. It's just by way of beginning to think. And again, I'm not saying that I'm talking about something that you're obeying here in this yeshiva. I'm sure they talk to you about. And I was just to remind a little bit to be mechazik this nakuda. In Derech Eitz Chaim, the Ramchal, which I'm sure here is in the Eitz Svarim. He writes the following. He talks about the journey to the Kodesh Kedoshim. How do you get to Eish HaTorah? How do you get to Yerushalayim? How do you get to the Har HaBayis? So he says the following. Haloi ha'odam roiv shnois yomav oimeid lachshoiv cheshbonis hasokav. Most of the years of a person's life, he's thinking about cheshbonis hasokav, what he has to do to make a living, what he's, or it could also be what you're doing and you're learning. Cheshbonis hasokav. Iskei chayisho, could be things of this world, or even when it comes to certain mitzvahs and so on. V'loma lo yosim elevavo. The Ramchal asks, "Loma lo yosim elavava afilu sha'achas? Why doesn't the person take even an hour? Why doesn't the person take some time? Gam lezois lachshoyv machsheves mamish, to think of machsheves mamish. Mahu, what am I? V'loma bola olam, and why did Hashem Yisbarach send me to the world? Why was I sent into this world?" What's the tachlis of being in this world? And what does Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is he asking of me? Mahu rotsemi meni? What does he want of me? Why did he create me? And to ask oneself, what's going to be the end of me in this world? We're now talking during Shoivim. And everybody's trying to think, what's an Eitzah? How could I possibly fight against my Eitzahara? What am I going to do? How could I even talk about Inyanim of Kedusha? How dare I come and sit in front of a Blat Gemara when the Creator of all worlds knows what I think about and what I looked at on my phone and what I saw here and I looked at there? How dare I even open a Siddur and open a Sefer? What's the trufa? So there are people who have a thing that they fast during the Shoivim and they have a Masorah like that. That's a wonderful thing. But the Tzaddikim told us that at the end of time, that's not the Ikkar. But the Ramchal is talking about is the Ikkar. Zoisi ha-trufa ha-yoyise gedoyle v'chazoka. Because he was talking right before about how does one fight against the Eitzar. Zoisi ha-trufa ha-yoyise gedoyle v'chazoka, the most powerful cure. That one can use to fight against the Yetzer Hara, and it's easy. Upulasa gedoyla, and it has powerful, powerful results. Upiria rav, and it brings much fruit. Tubishvat, it brings tremendous results into your life to change you. Shiyamad ha'odim b'chol yoyim, and this is the Yetzer that the Ramchal gives. Shiyamayid ha'odim b'chol yoyim. Lefochah shah achas, he's talking about an hour. Let's say 15 minutes for our generation. Tav shin pei. Every day. Lefochah shah achas ponu mishah kol ha'machshavos. No phone. Everything's shut down. Everything's closed. No, not hanging out. Not with anybody else. He says, ponu mishah kol ha'machshavos lachshav rak alahinyin hazeh shamarti. To think about this one thing. Ma ani rotzeh. What is it that is in my Kodesh Kadosh? What's in the Kodesh Kadosh of my life? When am I going to finish the Shia? When am I going to be able to get something to eat? Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, whatever it might be. Alinin hazeh shamarti, v'yavakesh b'levavo. And Ramchal says, you can look in the Derech Chaim pretty much in the beginning, after a page in. V'yavakesh b'levavo. And to ask yourself, Ma also are Rishonim Ovis Ha'olam? What did the Rishonim, the Ovis Ha'olam, meaning the Ovis, the earlier ones, the Ovis and all the early ones, and the Rishonim and everybody, what did they do? Ma love them so much. Because why did Rishonim love Avraham Avinu so much? Why did Rishonim love Moshe Rabbeinu so much? Because he was a Lamdan? You think that? Did someone tell that to you? Because he was a bigger Lamdan than the next guy? Look at the end of Mesil Sharm, because usually in Yeshiva they never took us to the end. Read the last page of Mesil Sharm, an answer to the question of the bigger Lamdan. You can be the biggest Lamdan and you're filled with yourself, with Gaiva and Yeshus. You don't have any Shaykhist to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have no Shaykhist to anything except yourself. And your whole learning is a Mias. There could be such a thing, Chas V'Chalil. Torah without Har Sinai. Learning Torah without Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Learning Torah without thinking for a minute. Who put me into this world? Why am I learning Torah? What's the tachas of learning Torah? Learn Tanya, Perek Dalet, hey, see what it means to learn Torah. Learn Nefesh Chaim. What it means to learn Torah. What's supposed to be happening when you're learning Torah? What are you supposed to even be stopping every now and then thinking about when you're learning Torah? Ma'asa Ma'isha Rabbeinu Olam Shalom. Ma'asa David Mashiach Hashem. M'chol HaGadolim Asher Hayu Lefaneinu. V'yarlo B'sichlo. Matoiv lo adam kol yimei chayiv lasas ken gam hu. And then you could begin to think, matoiv, how wonderful it would be. And the tachlis of my life is to be like they were. To be like they were. Even some of them who were simple Jews. Because I've met some unbelievable simple Jews in my life and you would say, are not learned. Sometimes because they didn't have a chance because Hitler Yimach Shemo came and took the Gemara out of their hands. But we can't say a kippetel teilum like they say. And we're not oozing with Yiddishkeit and Yerushalayim the way these Jews are oozing with Yiddishkeit and Yerushalayim. So I'll end, I'll tell you a story. So my Sif Nahil Gerizhna Schus Yigalayna. The holy visioner. So he was sitting on Purim with the Chassidim, and the Chassidim felt it was Tisha B'Av, Mamish. Tisha B'Av. Every year they came to the Rishna, it was by the Rishna was Malchus, Mamish, Malchus. And this year they came to the Rishna, they're sitting there Purim, he's got his head on the table. Not from drinking, that would be fine. Not from drinking. Just he's like, not happy. And the Jews were getting very scared because they understood there must be there some kind of a gzeira ro, something bad is going on. How could it be that on Purim the Rebbe is sitting like this? So there in the court of the Holy Vision there was a Yid Rebbe Yitzchak. I forgot what they called him. There was another part to his name. And this Rebbe Yitzchak was a badchan. You know what means a badchan? It's like a comedian. He was funny. They used to have by chasnas. If you go to chasnas, sometimes you'll see they have a guy tells Torah together with jokes, right? And for the chat to be besamech to chasn, it's a special talent. Many of them are great talmid chacham. The holy rabshitzu was famous as a badchan also. And over there they had this yid Rebbe Yitzchak. And Rebbe Yitzchak, everybody knew that if anybody could make the Rebbe happy, like to get him going, it would be Rebbe Yitzchak. So Rebbe Yitzchak started to say over all kinds of beautiful things and rhymes and Torahs and jokes and everything, whatever. And the vision is like he is not even looking at him. Until finally, Rebbe Yitzchak sees that I have to do something desperate. And all of a sudden, he gives a jump on the table, knocks over all the wine and food, falls mamish onto the visioner himself. And the chassidim start to go, oy fey. And the visioner is sitting there. Now he looks up, the visioner looks at him, and Rebbe Yitzchak is standing with his knees, like in the Rebbe's face. He's on the table. And the visioner says, what's the matter with you? You're crazy? What are you doing? He says, I want to ask the Rebbe a question. And he spoke with Mechutzef. He was talking with Chutzpah. And the Rebbe said, what do you want? So Yitzchak said, what I want to say something to the Rebbe. So say what you want to say. So I want to say to the Rebbe that there's no point in being a chassid of the Rebbe, not in this world, not the next world. There's no tachlis. So the chassidim, they start, people crying, people screaming. And Rebbe Yitzchak says, no tachlis at all to be. So the Rebbe says, so I don't need you. So who asked you to be here? So get out. And he looked at all the chassidim. He said, you could all go. I don't need any of you. And people started to like edge away. And they didn't know what to do. And the Rishna was like, and Rebbe Yitzchak said, let me explain. He says, there used to be a Rebbe that I said before, Naftali Rapshitsa. And if you were a chassid from Naftali Rapshitsa, when you came to Naftali, he gave you a hug. And there was Torah and singing and dancing. The whole week was Mamish Purim. Here we come Purim, it's Tisha B'Av. By the Holy Rapshitzer, even when a person dies, he comes to the next world and they ask him over there, who are you? So he says, I'm a chassid from Naftali Rapshitzer. Oh, you're a chassid from Naftali Rapshitzer. Oh, Kimarayin. Okay, come in. But Rebbe, to be one of your chassidim, is gunish ver, it's worth nothing. In this world, we traveled, people came 500 miles, they risked their lives to come here for Purim, they don't get a smile, they don't get a good word, not a tire of garnish, nothing. And then we come to the next world, what's going to be with us? So we're going to come to the next world, they're going to stand over there, Malach, and they say, who are you? I'm a chassid of Rebbe Yisrael Rishon. I said, no, ayichis. So what do we have for you? Not in this world, not the next world. So the Rebbe's screaming, so not this world, not the next world, so leave. And then Rebbe Yitzchak sat on the table in front of the Rebbe. Could be he had some drinks. To do that, you had to have some drinks. He sat down, and he starts to cry. And he actually put his arms out to the Rebbe, and he put his hands on the Rebbe's holy hands. And everybody was just shocked and silent. And he says, Rebbe, I can't leave you. I'll never leave you. Because you're the truth, Rebbe. And all I want in my life is the truth. I don't care. I just want you. So he said. And the Vishnu looked at him, and they were staring at each other, and he was crying. And then the Vishnu closed his eyes. And then he took a cup of wine. He said, L'chaim, L'chaim. And the whole oilam, they were Irish. There was never a poem like that in the Vishnu, ever. It broke the whole thing that was hanging, it broke. I give each and every one of you a bracha chevah. That whatever you came here to accomplish, you should accomplish 1,000 times more. You have the rebellion for it, you have the city for it. What else could you have? You're here, mamash, you're here. You should accomplish more than you ever dreamt of accomplishing. But I'm asking you and begging you as one Jew to another Jew. Remember what's the tachlis of all of this. Remember why this place exists. Remember why is all of this. Don't forget the fed. Don't forget the horse. To be able to look at Hashem's Baruch's eye in the eyes and to say, I'm going through all this craziness in my life and a million crazy things and I'm holding myself back from all the things that, and I'm going through the Shoivim and I'm doing all these things, why? And I don't know why I'm doing it. It's not fun. It's not easy. It's hard. So the Baruch Hashem can say, so then leave if you don't want it. And you and I can take Hashem by the hands and grab him and say, I'll never leave you because you're the truth. V'ani rotzeh, I want that. I want the truth. Hashem is motion to help us. We should be zoichim as Hashem. Our hearts should be open through learning His Torah, to want the truth and to live lives that are true. So we should be zoichim as Hashem from this place to be able to run outside, to run with the rest of Am Yisrael, and to join David Malka Mashiach, Lugosav Amitis, and maybe Amin Amen. Amen.